Thank you, Brother Rick. I've got to know, how many of you are gullible enough to think that that baby dog getting left is just an accident? Rick, I'm telling you, I'm glad you're here this morning. We've been looking at a sermon series entitled Showing Up the Foundations of Our Faith. And we're going to continue that study this morning. I am deeply convicted that the church foundation is Jesus Christ. But the church really grows out to the extent of the health and well-being of the family. I believe that with all of my heart. If the families of the church are not healthy, if the families of the church are not godly, the truth is the church can't be healthy or godly either. That's why this morning I'm sharing a message entitled Home Improvement, God's Ways. You might think it's strange that I'm doing this on the day that she was not here. It's planned that way. Sometimes I have to say she might not appreciate it. You might not either, but that's okay. We're going to take it from God's Word, and let me assure you, I won't say anything this morning, especially the wife, that my wife doesn't already model. I am so blessed and privileged to have a godly wife who models the love of Christ, not just in the church, but in our home. I'm glad you're here today, and I trust God will speak to you in a personal way. This is a very practical message, a message that I think we need to hear repeatedly as husbands and as wives, as children, as partners and families in the church. I don't know if you've heard the story now, but there's a story told about a man who was going through a great deal of stress at home. So he decided to go see his family doctor and look for some advice and relief from the stress that he was experiencing. After a lengthy consultation, it became apparent to the physician that a lot of the man's stress was due to some relational problems he was having at home. And the doctor knew that the marriage relationship was in stress, so it so happened that this doctor was a jogging enthusiast, and he believed one of the best things, one of the primary things that you could do for emotional problems or stress was jogging. So the doctor turned to the struggling man and he said, I think I know what will help you. You're not getting enough exercise to alleviate the stress in your life. So he said, here's my prescription for you. I want you for the next 21 days to jog 8 miles each day. The man looked at the doctor. He said, I'm not certain how this is going to help anything, but if you tell me that will help me relieve my stress, then I'll give it a try. The doctor told the patient to complete his assignment and to give him a call at the end of 3 weeks and let him know how he was feeling. The time lapsed, and on the 21st day, early in the morning, the doctor's phone rang. He picked up the phone and answered it, and the joy was obvious on the other end of the phone, and he recognized his patient's voice. He said, tell me the truth. How are you doing? How's your stress level? The man replied, Doc, your suggestion was great. It's exactly what I needed. My stress level has never been more. I wish I would have started this 5 years ago. In kindness, the doctor asked the man, how about your wife? Is she doing better? To which the man responded, how should I know? I've been jogging 8 miles a day for 21 days. I'm 168 miles away from that crazy woman. The truth be known, we're such a mobile society that the most common reaction to trouble is to take off running. You encounter problems at work and you abandon that job and run to the next job. You encounter troubles at church and you run to another church looking for a better place. You encounter trouble at school or college and you go to another school. You encounter financial troubles and you run from your debts. And tragically, we look at society today and the truth be known, when couples encounter trouble in marriage, the first instinct is to run away from the problems. Run from one relationship to another rather than to invest the time, the energy, and the effort that is necessary to work through the problems. Paul, in writing to the church at Colossae, gives the following home improvement advice to his readers. And I'll warn you that for ending the divorce court. Second-time marriages, 60% are ending in divorce. Third-time marriages, 75% end in divorce. So our modern ideology and modern alternatives really aren't doing very well on shoring up the foundations of marriages. I remind you this morning that our advice will come from God's Word. And the author of this text is a never-changing God. So even though we're living in an ever-changing society with ever-changing ideologies, God is a God who does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he's written to us in his Word is still his best idea, his final answer. And so you'll want to pay attention this morning, not because the preacher says so, but because we're looking at God's Word. Now, I'm a little bit jealous of the power of Rick Springer. Have you ever noticed him look at the choir and he'll go like this? And then he goes like this and they all stand up. We're going to read God's Word. Let me try that. You ready? Okay, stand. Some of them did pretty good. Beginning in the third chapter of the book of Colossians, the 18th verse, the Lord says to us through his written word, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." Simple advice, deep truths. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Let's just take this simple passage apart, and let's do our best to accept it as God's word, and then to adopt it as a lifestyle and see what God does in our homes that will make us to look more like God expects a Christian family to look. I'll just take it in the order that they're given, although I'll be honest with you, there's another order I would like better. I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. Let's take it word by word in this text. And it opens with this admonition: wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Now, I know that's not a popular statement in our society today. In fact, you don't have to go back very far in history to recall how the Promise Keepers organization was greatly maligned by the media because of their stance on the importance of husbands loving their wives and wives submitting to their husbands. But there are two basic problems with the media's criticism. First of all, they didn't understand this wasn't something that the Promise Keepers organization developed in their own minds. This was the word of God that they were proclaiming. Second of all, the liberal media has no understanding of the context or the meaning of the biblical concept of submission. Now this morning, I want you to understand something very clearly. The Bible uses the Greek word, which is actually a military term, which means this: to voluntarily place yourself under the leadership of another. And it's not an indication of a woman's lesser ability in any way. God's not inferring that you can't make good decisions. God's not inferring that you're not as wise as your husband. God is simply saying there needs to be an order. And God says, I created man first. I'm asking you to place yourself under, lovingly, compassionately, under the ability and the leadership of your husband. It's a sign of respect for one another. Guess what? Did you know that in an identical passage of Scripture, that before Paul says, "Wives, submit to your husband," he says to married couples, "Submit yourselves to one another"? It's just an expression of deep respect to another. It really isn't about authority. It's about respect. It's an act of honoring someone by placing your trust in their capable leadership. Now, man, please understand, you're not given the privilege, nor are you given the responsibility of lording your authority over your wife. You won't find that anywhere in Scripture. I heard about one man who attended a Promise Keeper meeting, and he didn't listen to the entirety of the message. He just learned that he was supposed to be the authority in his home, that he was in charge of his wife. He went back home to his wife and said, "Listen, honey, I learned a lot this week, and here's what didn't see her for 2 weeks. After about the second week, I could see her a little bit out of one eye. Now, guys, if you try that, you're on your own, because that's not what Scripture teaches at all. Submission is the choice of the wife, and it's her privilege to elevate you to the place of leadership. And if she gives you that privilege, you better lead with godly fear with an immeasurable compassion. The one that God's given you as your helpmate. The commandment that Paul writes is given to the wife, and it must be an act of loving submission as the wife yields herself to the leadership of her husband. God's given you your wife as a helpmate. She's a blessing to you. She is not your household slave or servant. She is your partner. And her submission to you is her expression of love and respect for you. Treat her with compassion. Wives, never take the liberal media's ideology that God is asking you to consider yourself as less capable or less important in His creative work. He has not. He's just established a code of conduct whereby He's called you to elevate your husband into place Him in the role of spiritual leader in your household. And for you to do otherwise is for you to miss out on the richest blessings that God has in store for those who follow His perfect plan for your home. Wives, submit to your husbands. But I really like to start with the second command Paul lists in this passage of Scripture. Husbands, love your wives. We're told to love our wives even as Christ loves the church. I really ought to stop right there and just give you a few minutes to think about the demonstration and expression that Christ gave us concerning His love for us. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Do you realize that He abandoned all but the glory and the splendor of heaven to come into this life so that He could be the groom for the church, His bride? Do you realize that He loves us, His church, so much that He was willing to die on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we can enjoy this marital relationship with Him for all eternity? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. When I do premarital counseling, this is the passage I begin with, because if a husband loves his wife in the same way that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for the church, then the wife will find no problem elevating her husband to the role of leader in the household. You have a very important task to fulfill, men. You are to model the love of Christ for your wife. And your children need to see you modeling that kind of love for your wife. You're to love your wife the same way that Jesus loves His bride at church. And you know what kind of love Paul's talking about here. He uses the word agapeo, or agape. It's unconditional love. Love that never stops. Love lived out by overt expressions of love for another. Love that led ultimately to His death upon the cross so that we could spend eternity with Him. And did Jesus love us because of what we could do for Him? Did Jesus love us because of the way we could make Him feel? Did Jesus love us because of our faithfulness to His love for us? No, His love is agape love, a love with no strings attached. Does His love for us ebb and flow with circumstances and changes in life? Absolutely not. The Bible tells us that He loved us in that while we were still sinners, He came and gave His life and died for us. When we were at our most unlovable point in life, Jesus loved us enough to invite us to be His eternal bride. Dear friends, He's never changed His mind in spite of our faults and failures. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Husband, I'll make you this promise. If you'll learn to love your wife like Christ loves the church, she'll gladly fulfill her role as a submissive wife following you wherever you sense God is leading you to go, and you will treat her with respect and care and diligence in your provisions for her. Wives, submit to your husband. Husband, the love of your wife. Children, it's time for you. Paul explicitly, plainly, clearly states, children, obey your parents. Notice, he says, obey your parents, and he continues, in all things. In all things. And he concludes, for this pleases the Lord. Teenagers, children, you can't please God without being obedient to your parents. Did you know that the fifth commandment is the first commandment that comes with a promise attached to it? The fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother so that your days will be long in the land. It just adds years to your life if you'll honor them. And I can think of no better way to honor your mom and dad than by living a life of obedience, which also pleases the Lord. You want to please the Lord, you must obey your parents in all things. You ever struggle with that one? I did when I was a teenager. But the truth be known, if we want to shore up the foundations of our faith, if we want our homes to be the kind of homes that honor God, that witness of God's grace and His love, we have no other option than to obey our parents in all things. And then there's one final command that you may overlook if you're not careful. I believe it's this. We're going to shore up the foundation of our home. We've got to be responsible parents. I take that out of that wonderful phrase. Paul writes, fathers, don't embitter your children. Paul gives us the admonition in the negative, but if you'd allow me, I'll translate to what he's saying in the positive. Rather than don't make your children angry. I think Scripture could just as accurately have read, do everything you can to add joy and happiness to your children's lives. Guys, the world is filled with hurt and heartache and pain. There's going to be disappointment and frustration out beyond the walls of your home. Make your home a place where your children feel loved and appreciated. A place where they sense the love and the grace of the God that you serve. Now, hear me carefully. I'm not saying don't set limits. I'm not saying don't enforce rules. I'm not saying don't discipline your kids when it's necessary. I'm just saying that rather than coming across as parental police officers, let them see you as the loving parent who wants to make their lives fuller and richer and better because of your love for them and your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't exasperate them. Don't make them angry. Don't pick on them. Children of our generation desperately need to experience the love and leadership that only a mother or father can give. About 2 years ago, I was privileged with an extensive study time where I began to research and study the influence and the impact of the family on the child. And you've heard me quote this before. Without a doubt, the number one influence on your children is, number one, the mother. Number two, the dad. Sorry, guys, we're number two. Moms are number one. If you don't believe me, the next time you're watching a football game and one of the big old burly football players has the camera turned on him, you look at what he says. Hi, Mom. Dad, you taught him how to pick up the ball. You taught him how to hold the ball. You taught him how to throw the football. You taught him how to tackle. And he gets on the camera and goes, hi, Mom. I didn't understand. I don't care what you do, Mom, you will be the number one influence in their life, no matter who else influences them. Be responsible, be loving, be passionate, be compassionate with those kids. Dads, you're number two, and nobody's going to take that place away from you. You better know what they see you doing is going to speak much louder than what the preacher can say on this podium. In fact, it will speak much louder than any words that come from your lips. You're the number two influence. Do you know that preachers and youth ministers fall somewhere on the list behind moms and dads, grandparents, catch this, coaches, school teachers? God has placed you in an important role as parents. I'll do everything I can to help. I know God's heart. He will do everything He can to school your kids in the Christian principles. principles of the faith. But the truth be known, what he says will never measure up to what you do. The best thing you can do is to make your home a place where they experience and see the love of God and the grace of God, the teachings of God, the merit of a relationship with God. Truth is, there is no adequate substitute for parental love. If your kids don't find parental love at home, they're going to seek for love in all the wrong places. You've got to love them as Christ loves them. I understand. Been there. As parents, we bear the responsibility of disciplining the child when they get out of line. I hate that part of being a parent, but it's important. God disciplines us when we get out of line. We have to discipline our children when they get out of line. But the truth be known, we're equally responsible for loving them when they're good and when they're bad, just like God loves us. When we're good and when we're bad. Be a responsible parent and love them out loud. You know, I'm proud of those parents this morning who stood before you guys and said, we're going to do everything we can to raise this morning our little girls in the love of Jesus Christ. That's a commitment. And I believe all three of those couples mean it with all their heart. We're going to pray for them. We're going to encourage them. We're going to be there to help them in any way that we can. But those parents are going to be the ones who really are the role models for those three precious little girls. In your home, you're the ultimate role model for your children. Grandparents, you're up there pretty high. What a privilege you have to influence your grandchildren in the love of Jesus Christ. I realize that some of the things that I've said from the pulpit today are viewed as old-fashioned. Some will say they're outdated. I don't believe God's word is ever outdated. I believe his principles are still good today. I believe his plan as the Creator is still the best plan for any of us as his creation. I believe if we're going to be healthy as a church, we've got to have healthy homes. Husbands, I'm going to ask with every head bowed and every eye closed, does your wife know that you love her just like Christ loves the church? Is it born out of the way you live your life? Does she sense it in the commitment and the leadership that you're giving her? Oh, husband, what a privileged responsibility God's given you. They need to see Jesus in you more than they need to hear him in my message. This morning, if your wife doesn't know that, then I want to challenge you during this invitation time to put your arm around her and say, honey, I'm going to do a better job. I want you to know that I love you. And I'm going to do my very best to love you the same way Christ loved the church. And I want you to see it in my life. I'm going to do my best for you. I'm going to be a godly husband. I'm going to be a godly daddy. And I want you to see Jesus in me. And I want to love you like Christ loved the church. Help me. Point out when I don't measure up. Help me to be what God wants me to be. Wives, I don't want to sound like I'm coming down on you or like I'm some egotistical male chauvinist. God's word says you need to submit yourself to your husband. But again, that doesn't give him a right to treat you as a slave. It just gives him the privilege of knowing that you trust him, that you're counting on him to lead you in the ways of God. Can he see in you a spirit of submission that places the responsibility on his back to be the man of God he needs to be? Perhaps the problems that plague your home are simply because you're not lined up with Scripture. Wives, maybe today it would be good for you to just put your arms around your husband and say, honey, you know me, I'm a strong-willed person. But I want to be what God wants me to be in our relationship, so I'm going to count on you to lead us. I'm going to submit myself to you as unto the Lord. Lead me, and I'll follow. Children, obey your parents in all things. Are there some things that you're just really struggling with? Mom, Dad, that's old-fashioned. Mom, Dad, that's taking all the fun out of my life. Children, maybe it's time. time for you to go to mom and dad and say, Mom, Dad, I know you have my best interest in heart. I'm going to obey you in all things. I just know that I love you. And help me to understand that what you're asking of me and what you're demanding of me is because you love me. You be mom and dad. I'm going to be a good son. I'm going to be a good daughter. I'm going to demonstrate obedience to you so that I can please my Heavenly Father. Parents, I know there are times when it's really difficult with your children. But are you being responsible, parents, demonstrating the love of Christ? Maybe the most loving thing you can do today is go grab your sons and daughters and come kneel at this altar and say, God, help us to be the kind of home where your love is shared, your joy is experienced, and your grace is demonstrated. You see, if we're not sure of the foundations of the faith, we're not sure of the spiritual condition of the home. In this invitation time, the altars are open for you to make those kinds of commitments. You can make them in the pew, and that's fine, but let's do business with God. Let's make sure that our home follows the biblical principles of a Christian home. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need Him more than you need anything, let me encourage you. Come down, take Roger by the hand, or me by the hand. Allow us the privilege of leading you into a relationship with the God who loves you more than I could ever explain to you. If you're looking for a church home, we'd like you to be a part of the Alliance Baptist Church family. You come. As we stand together, as we sing, say yes to the Spirit of God.